Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the top of the Amid. Zayim Mishal Avaisai, Zayim Mishal Avaisai. Two people are agreeing, and each one is saying that this property belonged to the parents. And since this property belonged to the parents, the halacha is that it should be mine. And we have this dispute between these two individuals. Hi, Isasadi Davasahe. And this one brought Adam that this property belonged to his father. And this one, his basis to his claim is the fact that he has a chazakah on this property. Amar Rabba, the person who has the chazakah is believed. And the reason he's believed, because he has a mala l'shaker. He has a migui. Ibai amalech menach svinta. He could have always claimed that I bought it from you, v'chalt shnei chazaka, and I have a chazaka on the field. And as we've been learning in our shiurim, that would be a situation of a chazaka shiyeshim o'y taina. He's on the property for 3 years, uncontested. He has a taina that I bought it from you, and that, therefore, is considered a migui. The migoy mal el shak, if he wanted a lie, he could have said something else, and he would be believed. And throughout Shas, this is considered a migui, because if he could have said, the definition of a migui is that he could have had a better claim. And if he didn't have a better, and therefore believe him when he says what he said, because if he wanted to lie, he could have said the better claim. The fact that he said just what he said, very much an indication that he's saying the truth. That's one explanation. The other explanation, which Rav Shimon Shkop suggests, is that a migui is a taina. In other words, as we're learning, the way I understand Rav Shimon to say, in other words, what makes the person with a chazaka get the property? What makes the person with a chazaka get the property is the fact that he has a taina. And the taina and the chazaka make him win. And what we're learning here now is that a chazaka that has, that the chazaka that has a taina, with the taina is strengthened through a migui, is a chazaka that will win. Amar le'Abaya. So Abaya said to him, that your position, that the Maloi L'Shaka, the Migui, puts him into such a strong position, is not accepted. Because Maloi L'Shaka, to rely on a Migui, but Malkam Edim, Loi Amrinan. Because, and there are a number of ways of explaining this. One is that when the Migui is facing, Edim, so then the migui doesn't have the strength that it has throughout Shas. And the Ritva explains, because what does a migui do? The way we just finished explaining, what a migui accomplishes is the migui strengthens what he said. But when they're Edom, we don't do that. We don't begin manipulating and explaining what he said when they're Edom against what we're trying to do. Duran says that when he said Shalavoisai, and what he meant to say was it was mine and not Shalavisecha. That means it was always in my family, not in your family. So now if we're going to, so what is the Migui trying to say? That we're reinterpreting what he said. That is not halachically acceptable. The Makam Edom, we can't manipulate his words. Hadamalai. So now the person who was holding on to the property said, in Davasachahi, it was, you belonged to your father, for Zamanti Minach, and I bought it from him. My words clearly did not say that. The Haid de Amriloch Davasai, and the words that I said that it was my father's, what I didn't mean to say that it was my father's. What I meant to say was, the Samachalai Kedavasayu, I believe my ownership and my possession of this property is so strong as if it was something that I have from my forefathers. So now the question is, Toyin v'chaz v'toyin, does somebody have a right to change his claim? Or ain't Toyin v'chaz v'toyin, or does somebody not have the right to do so? Says the Gemara, Ula m'toyin v'chaz v'toyin. Ula says, you may. Nadoi amri ain't Toyin v'chaz v'toyin, you may not. And there are many reasons why you may not. The Rashbam says, because we have a rule throughout Shas, that ados baldin kemei edim dami, somebody's admission is equivalent to mei edim, and therefore, once you said something, for example, in our Gemara, you said that avoisai, so you agreed that you said this, and you didn't, and you meant that it wasn't your father's, and that's an admission that you can change. Other Rishonim say that it's not connected to Hadas Baldin. The Ramban's approach is that you don't get a chance to make another claim. Once you made a claim, you have no right to make another claim. Says the Gemara, Umayda Ula, even Ula, who says Toyin v'choyz v'toyin, says I only agree to that in a case where Hechad Amalei, I won't agree to Toyin v'choyz v'toyin in a case where he said Shalavoisai v'shloy Shalavoisecha. We made it very clear in his opening remarks that it was my forefathers, not your forefathers. So now what he's trying to do is change the entire story. Dein Toyin v'choyz v'toyin. So what Ula is saying is, if your second claim does not completely contradict your first claim, so then we'll accept your first claim. We'll allow you to modify your claim. But when your claim now is contradictory to your first claim, I will agree that the halacha won't let you change your story. Says the Gemara furthermore, Heichad have a koi beidina. If the person was in Bezdin and did not make the claim as he is making now, and then he left Bezdin because he realizes that his position is very weak, so he left Bezdin v'tan, and then he came back to Bezdin and makes a new claim. Ein achoz v'tan, it will not be accepted. My tama, shetanasa agmerei. What must have happened was that as he walked out of Bezdin, they taught him to make this claim, as the Rambam says that his lawyers or whoever realized that his position is a very weak position. So they taught him to say something which is not true. So the Imre Bina asks a question. Yes, if somebody comes to Bezdin and makes a claim and then recognizes that his claim is a very weak claim, and then he leaves Bezdin and he comes back, we have to really be concerned that he was taught to say this. But here, let's not forget that he is a machzik. The person we're speaking about is a person who's on the field. He's been on the field for 3 years without anyone contesting that. Why is that not taken into consideration? So the Shaila Shel Tshuvas HaRosh asked this question. And the Shaila Shel Tshuvas HaRosh says that's a fair question. He says, however, what the Gemara means to say is we're taking all the facts into consideration. One fact is that he did not say this when he was in Bezdin. Another fact is, and he only said it after he walked out of Bezdin and then came back in. And the other fact is that he does indeed have a chazakah. And now what the halacha needs to do is decide, what do I follow? Do I follow the chazakah or the indication if this is the way it is, why don't you say it before you walked out of Bezdin? And what the Gemara is teaching us is that we assume more that when you were out of Bezdin, you were taught to say something which is not true versus following the chazakah. And therefore, Tosfos asks a question. The Gemara just said that everybody agrees that if you walked out of Bezdin, and then only after you walked back into Bezdin, you have a new claim, we won't accept it. But what will be the halacha if the new claim is not contradicting your original claim? So it's not as bad as when it's a whole new story. Rabbi Yonah's opinion is that no, we won't accept a new claim if you walked out of Beis Din. The Rivash disagrees that if the new claim that you're saying as you walked out of Beis Din doesn't contradict your original claim, even though you were walked out of Beis Din, and that's only when you came back with this new explanation, it will be accepted. And I think that the Pshat in the Rivash is, again, A, we have to remember that he does have a chazakah. And B, we have to look at how serious his change of mind is. The Tshuvas Chachmei Provincer says that if somebody went out of Beis Din and he is able to show that Beis Din made a mistake, and then he makes a new claim, the halacha is that we can accept a new claim. Because we look at it as a new Din Torah. The Shar Mishpat said that, again, we're saying, our Gemara is teaching us now that if he walks out of Beis Din and then he comes back with a new claim, we don't accept it. But if he comes back with a new claim, and it's not just a new claim, but he has Edom supporting that claim, so that will be accepted, the new claim, even though it was after he left Beis Din. Then Rabina disagrees. And then Rabina's position is that our Gemara says that if you leave Beis Din, you can't come back to Beis Din with a new claim, and it doesn't make a difference if you have Edom to support that new claim or you don't have Edom. The Shach says that this that we're learning, that if you leave Beis Din, you can't come back with a new claim, it's only in a case where Beis Din already issued a psak, and that's when you can't make a new claim. But, says the Shach, if Beis Din didn't issue a psak, but you realize that your position is weak. So the Shach differentiates between where you want to change what you're saying after psak Beis Din, which our Gemara is saying you may not, versus a situation where Beis Din hasn't issued a psak, and even though you see that your situation is weak, it doesn't make a difference. Since Beis Din didn't issue a psak, you could make a new claim. The Shas Tshuvas Rashba says that in certain situations we find that Beis Din themselves try to help somebody who makes a weak claim. The example the Rashba gives, if somebody owed somebody else money and Shemitah passed, and as we know, the halacha is that Shemitah cancels all loans. So Shemitah passed, and the person who owes me money, the loiva who owes me money, says, well, I don't owe you the money because there's a concern, because Shemitah must have canceled the loan. So the halacha is that Beis Din, on their own, will ask me, well, maybe you wrote a prosbul, and as we know, we learned that a prosbul prevents the loans from being canceled. So I didn't say I had a prosbul. It's Beis Din that it tries to get me to think and hopefully say that I had a prosbul. So why is that different than toin v'chayz v'toin? So the Rashba says, and this is presumably the basis of what the Shach says, why he says it, because when does Beis Din ask me this question and hopefully get the right answer from me? It's only because Beis Din hasn't yet issued a psak. And because Beis Din hasn't yet issued a psak, it's not considered a situation of toyin v'chayz v'toyin. But indeed, says the Rashba, if Beis Din already issued a psak, then we wouldn't say that Beis Din should try to help me change or enhance my claim. That would be already a violation of kivin the shaitan ein v'chayz v'toyin. Ubayda nadoi, and even nadoi that says ein toyin v'chayz v'toyin, where the person who's on the property says, he said that the property once belonged to you. He could say that because this is not considered that he's reversing what he said previously. Moreover, what would be the halacha if first we had the two litigants standing outside of Beis Din, and he didn't make the claim as he's making. And then the Oslo Beit Din Vatan. And then when he entered Besdin, he made the claims which are winning claim. And the other litigant said, well, you never said this when you were outside of Besdin. Says the Gemara, everybody agrees, the Chayz V'Toyin, that that's acceptable. My Tama. Because of it, Inish, Deloy Magli, Tanosa, El Beit Dino. This litigant is saying to himself, I don't want to give away all of my strategy. So I'm not obligated to say everything I want to say outside of Besdin. And the fact that I didn't say it outside of Besdin first is not an indication of anything. Amma Amema, so says Amema, Ano Nado Ano, I am from the Chachmi Nado, and Sfirle, and I hold like Ula, the Toyin V'Choyz V'Toyin, that you have a right to make a new claim. And so too, that is, and says the Gemara, that Hilchasa, the Halacha is that that he can make a new claim. So, as we've learned, there are conditions to this, that you could only make a new claim if the new claim is not contradictory to the first claim. It could be consistent with the first claim, but where the second claim cannot be consistent with the first claim, then the halacha is that he can't retract from the first claim. And there are different reasons why, if the second claim is not consistent with the first claim, may you not go back. The Mabit's approach is, because if you were to change your mind, then you would be considered a huchsa kafrin. That means when you made your first claim, you were a liar. And of course, the halacha doesn't accept a kafrin. The Rashbam says that once the first claim was made and it was proven to be a weak claim, it goes back to what we said earlier in the shir, is that hados baldin kamei edim dami. That's considered that you admitted that you have no rights here, and once you made that type of admission, you can't go back. Zeh oimer shel avaisai, continues the Gemara. Again, two people are arguing over a piece of property. Zayim Shel Avaisai, this one says it was my father's. Zayim Shel Avaisai, and this one says it was my father's. Hai Ais Sadei Davusa. This first person brought Edim that this property belonged to his father. Vish Achl Shnei Chazaka, and that he had ownership on this property for 3 years with no one saying anything. Vahai Ais Sadei Dishach Chazaka. He brought Edim that they were on the property for Chazaka, but he doesn't have Edim that this property belonged to his father. So says the Gemara, says Rav Nachman, Ukai Chila Labada Bechila. The two Edei Chazaka cancel each other out, and what we're left with is Vuki Ar Becheska Savasa. So the one that has Edim that this property belonged to his father will win the Dentira. Amalei Rava, so Rava said, Ha'edis Mucheshes he. This Edis is possibly not true. We're not accepting this Edis as far as the Chazaka element of their Edis, because we have to be concerned that they're saying something that's not true, because there are other Edim that are contradicting this, what they're saying. So how can we accept what they're saying as far as the fact that this property belonged to his father? Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded to Rava, Na'a diskash b'chiloso, yes, as far as the Chazaka element of their Edis, they've been contradicted and they're not accepted. However, ba'askos of mishkachish, regarding the part of the Edis that they said that this property belonged to his father, that still stands. So says the Gemara, Lema Rava Rav Nachman, the Gemara suggests that the machloikus of Rava Rav Nachman is plukta Rav Huna v'chizda kamikli. Ditmar, they learned in yeshiva, Shnei Kita Edim Achisha Zuzu. You have two pairs of Edim that contradict each other. One pair says Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and the other one says that he didn't borrow money from Shimon. And Amar of Hun, and it's important to establish certain halachic terminology. Edis Mechashis are two pairs of Edim saying two different versions. Edis Muzemis is that not that they're saying, I know what you're saying is not true. I'm just saying that you're saying that you saw Reuven borrow money from Shimon on Sunday in Brooklyn. It can't be Emmanuel Yisem that Reuven was with us somewhere else. And that's called Eide Hazama. And Eide Hazama, there's a special chiddush in the Torah for Sisal that the second pair of Eidim are believed, even though there's one pair versus another pair. Our Mishnah, our Gemara is speaking about Eide Achasha, where the two Eidim are disagreeing, but not with the Monu Hayisim. When you have a situation, Eidim Achashas, so then the halacha is that the two Eidim cancel each other. Rav Huna, so says Rav Huna, Zeh ba b'fnei atzma me'ida, v'zeh ba atzma b'fnei me'ida. The question that we have now is, can these people ever be believed to be Eidim in any other situation? Because there's a real question. We know that one of these two pairs saying something which is not true. We know that one of these pairs are saying, hey, this is not true. So they become people who are confirmed shakronim, confirmed liars, that we can never accept their edus. So says Rav Huna, we're not concerned for that. In the future, Zebba b'fnei atzma, Zebba b'fnei atzma, each one could say edus by himself. Of course, the Rishonim point out that even Rav Huna will agree that this pair could say edus, the people of this pair could say edus, this pair together or in different situations could say edus, but they can never say one from this pair and one from this pair combining together to say edus will never be acceptable. Because in such a situation, we know for certain that one of the two edim which we're supposed to have is somebody who's not kosher to be edim. The reason Rav, says the Rashbam, Rav Huna takes this lenient approach is because everybody begins with a cheskes kashrus. So both of these pairs of Edim begin with a cheskes kashrus. We don't have definitive proof on either of these pairs that they are the ones that lied, and therefore the halacha is that we accept them in the future with a cheskes kashrus. Rav Chizda Amar, Ba'adisaku Shakur Lamali. We know that one of the pairs are a liar, and therefore we can never accept either of the peers. And the Rashbam says that Edom in Halacha have a very powerful, and since they could cause Reuven to have to pay Shimon, we have Edom who we have a question on their acceptability don't have the ability to take money from one person to another person. And taking it a step further, says Rabbi Chanan the Kavod Shurim, because what do we just rely on? We rely on that they begin with a cheskes kashrus. So says Rabbi Chanan in explaining the Rashbam, that even though a cheskes kashrus, of course, is a strong halachic principle, it isn't strong enough to be able to make me have to pay you money. The Rimigash says that we approach this with a different cheshbon. He says that there's a non-sadi, that we know for certain, in a situation where we know for certain that whether these pairs is disqualified to be Edom, that we just don't know who, because sort of in a situation where we have a suffix, then the halacha is that we can't rely on the cheskes kashrus. And explains Rabbi Chanan, because every time we're relying on the cheskes kashrus, what we're saying is that we're relying on this pair. We say they have a cheskes kashrus. What we're saying is that the other pair doesn't have a cheskes kashrus. But that isn't true. They do have a cheskes kashrus. So yes, if we only had one pair of Edom, and we don't know the status of this pair of Edom, so says Rabbi Chanan, I think that's what he means to say, cheskes kashrus says we could rely on them. But if we're going to say that we're relying on this pair, and the reason we're able to rely on this pair is because they have a cheskes kashrus, what we are essentially saying is that the other pair doesn't have a cheskes kashrus. And that's not true. And that's why Rav Chisda will say we can't accept either pair. Ritva has a whole different approach to this Gemara. Ritva says that Rav Chisda halachically probably agrees with Rav Huna that we can rely on the cheskes kashrus. This whole din that he says, that Rav Chisda said, is a whole different point. It's a din de Rabbanan, where we have these two pairs of Edim, and we know that one is saying something which is not true, so then the Rabbanan said, don't accept either pair. So suggest the Gemara, Lema, suggests that the way the machlaikis of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda mirrors the machlaikis of Rav Nachman Rava. Rav Nachman holds like Rav Huna, that each pair is still accepted. So even though it was, even though what they said was not accepted as far as the chazaka, as far as the chazaka part, we will accept it as far as the avasa part. For Rav Krav Chizda, Rav is going to say that once it's disqualified, they're disqualified. Says the Gemara, leave it, Rav Chizda, according to Rav Chizda, kulam aloi pligi, everybody is going to agree that if you have these two pairs, as far as one part of their edus they've been clearly refuted, then they can't be accepted for anywhere else. Keep pligi, I'll leave the Rav Huna. The machlokes Rav Nachman is according to Rav Huna. Rav Nachman clearly holds like Rav Huna, and therefore, even though they've been refuted as far as the chazokas part is concerned, that has no bearing on the other part of the edus shalavosa. Rava atkan lekam Rav Huna elay the sacheres. That if they've been declared liars as far as this it has nothing to do with anything else. But here we want to rely on these people on this field, on the same field where we know that they may be lying about. Avalayas edus loy. Says the Gemara that after Rav Nachman paskin the way he said and relied on these edim, the one what they said that this property belonged to this person's father. Now the other person was able to bring Edom that this property belonged to his father. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, we first made the person who had Edom that it was his father's win the din Torah, and now that situation changed. And we Bezdin doesn't know what to do. It's a real tray. So Rav Nachman just said two things. One thing he said was, we're not concerned that people are going to say, Bezdin is flip-flopping. First they said this way, and then they said that way. We're not concerned for that. Why, says the Rashbam, should people be concerned? Because we want the power of the Bezdin to be preserved. But in a case where it's obvious to all that Bezdin isn't flip-flopping without any reasoning, there's something going on here that's causing this to happen. We need not be concerned about that. So if we need not be concerned, where we're up to is we have the two parties at an impasse, and Bezdin walks away. So what becomes the halacha? So the halacha, the Rashbam says, is called Olam Gvar. Whoever is stronger wins. Why is that fair? Why is it because called Olam Gvar, one because one party is stronger than the other, does he win? So I saw that the Rishonim explained that somebody who's right is going to fight more for his rights. And the fact that I was called Gvar, the fact that I was able to do whatever I had to do to take it, that's why it's a proof that it truly belongs to me, and that's why I call the Amma the Gvar. The other Rishonim that disagree, and they seem to take the approach that whoever was on the property is going to be the one to remain on the property. Ask the Gemara, Moshe Rabbah V'Tamer of Zera. Shnaim Omrim Meis. Two people come and say regarding a woman that her husband passed away. V'shnayim amrim loy meis, and there are two other people that say the husband did not pass away. Or shnayim amrim nizgarshu, two Edom say that her husband divorced her. V'shnayim amrim loy nizgarshu, two Edom say he did not divorce her. The halacha is, harez loy tenosei, she may not get remarried because we don't know what her status is. V'mnisis, if she did get remarried, the halacha is loy teitzei, she doesn't have to leave her husband. Nachma yotze amrim, even if she got married, teitzei. When do I say that she has to leave? Where Edom came and said her husband is alive, and therefore she may not get remarried. So she had no right to get married. Aval nisus, if Adam came and said her husband died, and based on those Adam she got married, Adam, and then Adam came and said that if her husband is still alive, so she, when she got married, she had every right to get married. So therefore, even though now the testimony has changed, she remains with a second husband. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rava or to Rav Zera, Anos sever lemevet uvda, I wanted a paskin that we don't have to worry about Zlusa Beidei Dina. Hashta de Sivna at, now that you ask me a question from this brisa, where Rav Nachman Rav Yossi said that we're worried about Zelusa the Beit Dina, and therefore once she got married, even though now Adam show up, a new pair of Adam show up, and throw that whole marriage into question, we don't reverse what happened. Now that you asked me this question, Vesuna Rav Nuna Besuria, and Rav Hamnuna Besuria also asked me a question, Lev Dina of the, I will not anymore paskin this way. I will be concerned for Zelusa de Beit Dina. Says the Gemara, Nofek Vavavavda. And he did. But then Rav Nachman did reverse. Mandachazer, Savatosa Beyadei. Says the Gemara, somebody who saw what happened saw that he's making a mistake because he just said that he's worried about Zelusa Beit Dina. Vloihi, El Meshum de Taya Balash Ravari. What he did was relied on great Talmid Chachamim. The Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Ein Malam Lekuhuna Al Pi Ed Echad. We can't make a person a Koyin based on just the testimony of one aid that says he's a Koyin. Amar Belozai, but Ma Emesai, when is one aid inadequate to identify somebody as a Koyin? But Makom Sheish Oirim, where people are questioning his being a Koyin. Am Makom Shein Oirim, where nobody's questioning it. Malam Lekuhuna Al Pi Ed Echad, we can make Koyin Al Pi Ed Echad. Shim Gamliel Mashim Rav Gamliel Ben Skan, Ma'al Kunim Be'echad. So ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon and Gamliel, Hani Rav Elazar, they're both saying the same thing, that in a situation that we can rely on an Eid Echad. V'chi Teima, and if you say, that so what's the Machloikis? V'chi Teima, and if you'll suggest that the Machloikis is Irachad Be'neu, that the Machloikis is that there was only one person questioning, can he indeed be a Koyin? The Rebbe Elazar Sofer, Rebbe Elazar's opinion is, Irachad, that even if one person questions something, it's acceptable. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Sofer, Eretrei, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel is going to say that only if two people question it, is that something to take into consideration. So the Gemara, that can't be, because V'omer Rabbi Yochanan taught us that the Halacha is the Devarakal and Irapach Mishnayim. You always need to have two Edom. So if you always have to have two Edom, so how could you say that to make an error? So the question is, what is the case of the Machloikus? Our Gemara introduced a new consideration. And the consideration that our Gemara introduced is the concept of Zelusa de Beit Dina. We're concerned, as the Rishonim explained, that what people will think about Beis Din. And the Gemara says that if we spoke earlier in our shiur about Edom Zoymimin, if before these Edom were identified as Edom Zoymimin, the person who they said testimony about was killed based on their testimony, we leave it on. We leave it. Why is that? So we're worried about Zelusa de Beit Dina. We're worried that people are going to say, look, Beis Din killed an innocent person. And people are going to say, if they were tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have allowed that they should give a psak and act on that psak where people were killed, where somebody was killed who ought not to have been killed. Because, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be the color of tzaddikim. So the Sefer Maskil of David explains that this concept of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Tekol Al Yidei Tzadikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring a Tekol through Tzadikim, is only B'midah D'Achila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particularly concerned that somebody should not eat something which is not kosher. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim. But that's limited to the case of what we eat. That explains the maskil of it. Not everybody knows that that's the only place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes out of his way, kav yachol, to make sure that a tzaddik shouldn't do something wrong. Since that's not the only place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches for that, people are going to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always watches tzaddikim, that they shouldn't make a mistake. And here, if we're going to end up with people seeing that Bezdin made a mistake and killed people, it's going to be as elusive the Beit Din. Our Gemara has been focusing on a situation where somebody is not a Kohen, and now we want to identify him as a Kohen. How many people do we need to identify him to make a Kohen, and under what circumstances? The Shalos HaTshuvos Marit speaks about the opposite case. There was a person that we knew all the years as a Kohen, and then we discover that he married a woman who's a Grusha, who's a divorcee. And we tell him that you're not allowed to marry a divorcee, you're a Kohen. A Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. So he responds that the reason I assumed I was a Kohen all these years was because in our family, they said that we come from a family of Kahanim, from Tzfas. He says, I did research and I discovered that that's not true, that our family are not Kohanim. And therefore, I recognize that I'm not a Kohen, and I also recognize that I'm a married a lot of Grusha. Will we accept what he says or not? So Meretz says that if there's somebody who is established as a Kohen, and now he wants to claim that it's not true, then the halach is that we won't accept what he says. We won't be able to accept what he says based on that type of a claim and allow him to remain with a grusha, which is the opposite of what our Gemara is speaking about. Our Gemara is speaking about a person who was not yet established as a Kohen and he wants to be established as a Kohen. To take a person who was a Kohen and say we're going to accept that he's not a Kohen has to only be accepted with strong edus. There's another question that we're speaking about accepting a Kohen api Eid Echad. Says the Chazon Ish that even though an Eid Echad, our Gemara is saying, is inadequate to establish a person as a Kohen, the halacha is that it has to also have the backing of a Beis Din. And therefore he says that if you have a Kohen who says that he's a Kohen but it hasn't been established through a Beis Din, we wouldn't give them Matnas Kuhuna, because Matnas Kuhuna we could only give to a Kohen that's been established through a Beis Din as a Kohen. And that's one of the reasons that the Achroinim say that we see that people aren't that makbid on Matnas Kuhuna. And the reason that they're not makbid on Matnas Kuhuna is because we really don't have any Kohen that we could be confident is truly a Kohen. And only somebody who we know that Beis Din paskened Matnas Kuhuna, that's why the Prima Gadim says that in Chutz Laretz we're not noig Matnas Kuhuna. In Eretz Yisrael, the Prima Gadim says that since in Eretz Yisrael there's Truma, and we have to be careful about Truma, Mitzvahs, Atluyos, Baretz, so therefore, says the Prima Gadim, they did not want to differentiate between the different types of Matnas Kuhuna, and at Yisrael we are Machmer or Matnas Kuhuna, or we have to separate them and discard them if we can't be sure who is a Kohen.